Hallelujah. Certainly not standing in my own power. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again. So if you didn't know, I guess we kind of take it for granted. A whole lot of us are on, we have a page on Facebook where it's a private group, and we communicate needs in the body, and we also have some WhatsApp chats and what have you. And I guess we kind of take it for granted that everybody knows what's going on. So, but everybody isn't on that. So Malachi had an emergency appendectomy. That's what that was all about. He was having pain in his appendix, and they took him into emergency yesterday, and he didn't get operated on until 4 o'clock today. I don't know what the delay was about, but we're thankful that it turned out well. So, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He literally went to hell, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. That's the God we serve tonight. He waited 120 years to give everyone an opportunity. Amen. And 8 came. And they didn't come right away. But 8 came. That's the God that we serve. He's right on time. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you, and we're just so thankful to be gathered together once again this evening, and those of like precious faith. And we ask that you would anoint your word tonight, Lord, that you anoint our thinking, anoint our hearts, and may your word find its resting place, Lord, in that faith that you've placed down on the inside. And Father, may that word be quickened, and may it go forth, and may it produce Christ in our lives, Lord. May we be testimonies in this end time, Father, in the very closing act, in the very closing hours of the Gentile dispensation. We ask, Lord, that you would use us according to your will. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. We know that there are many out that are sick or attending to others, and we just ask that you would be with them and minister to them as well. And those that are listening in, those that will listen in, we commit them into your hands as well. Lord, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to just continue on with the thought, the direction that we've been going the last few services. Entitle the thought here tonight, The Lord's Promise. The Lord's Promise. And along those lines, I'd like to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which we read on Sunday night. I'd like to pick up on that again here this evening for a few minutes. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Are we living in the last days?
Yes.
Are there scoffers?
Yes.
Certainly. Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, these are not worldly. Well, I don't want to use the word worldly because they are worldly. But these are not just people of the world that don't go to church. These are churchgoers. Because the people in the world aren't saying, where is the promise of his coming? They don't even believe he exists. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So we see that at the time of this writing, Peter was finishing his course. He had run his race, as Paul had finished his. And he was stirring up their minds concerning what the true church had been taught. And he's reminding them, and he's just trying to drive it down one more time. There were several that had started in this great move, and they had already went the way of the grave, dying as martyrs for the cause, or some just dying of old age. And scoffers were raising up within the move this time. Prior to that, it was people that didn't believe in Christianity, the Jews of the Old Testament were scoffing, and then people in the world were scoffing, of course. But now the scoffing is coming from within. There had always been opposition from without, but now there were those from within that opposed the message and began to mock it. They pointed out that some of the church fathers had fallen asleep, and that things were just as they were before this message was preached. And they were pointing out that this was just another tangent movement and that had sprung up just as they always had since the beginning. And they were saying, you know, there's really nothing to this message because, look, we were told to expect and look for the coming of the Lord. And yet people are dying as they always did. Notice this. Those that were scoffing and that were falling away from Paul's message, they were now falling away altogether from the Bible. They weren't just, it wasn't just Paul's message they were rejecting. It was the whole word. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Really? You mean there wasn't a flood? So they're denying the flood even. Nothing's changed. Everything's been the same since the garden. Since man crawled up as a single-celled amoeba onto the shores and grew a leg and an arm. In other words, nothing has really changed ever. Religion is a sham. We got on the bandwagon early, but this move is dying. And still no so-called kinsman redeemer showed up. And he certainly hasn't broken the cycle of death and sickness. People still get sick. Babies are still born deformed. Caesar still rules by politics, and people are still dying. Where's the promise of his coming? What we were told to look for isn't happening. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened by now, according to them. We've waited long enough. We've given it time. You know, isn't it strange, friends, that when it comes to believing scientific theories, man's willing to wait millions of years? Not a shred of evidence supports the theory of evolution. There's not one example of a transitory species. A species going from one to another. And yet people are willing to believe anyway. With no evidence. How about global warming? We were told that the planet was going to burn up by now. And yet people are still willing to believe and go on with that. Maybe you believe that tonight. That's okay. But people just accept it. There's no, right. They haven't seen the evidence. No. But when it comes to the promises of God, hallelujah, skeptics come out of the woodwork everywhere. Everybody's, and now in the move of God, there are skeptics, critics. Well, every fine piece of art has to pass through the hall of critics. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, So this is pre-flood. Peter said they are intentionally putting aside many facts, and they're pretending to be ignorant of those facts. So it's not even an honest argument. They aren't interested in truth. And they're not being truthful when they scoff. They have not the love of the truth. Willful ignorance to the vindicated word. There's evidence that there was a flood. And the earth is covered with water. Hello. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Well, they're denying that now. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, Amen. And 1,000 years is one day. Amen. So God doesn't run his clock by man's calendar. God's clock runs at a different speed than yours or mine. And God has a plan, and God's watching over that every detail of the plan, and he is doing exactly what he said that he would do. He cannot lie. He's never told a lie. It's not possible for him to lie. God wasn't saying something out of enthusiasm of the moment and then cooled off and then moved on to something else and hoped nobody was paying attention, you know, forgetting what he'd once said. Peter said, don't be ignorant of this. God's plan is in process. And it is and it will be fulfilled exactly as he said that it would. And Peter's about to leave the scene, and this is his parting comment to the church, to you and I. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack. He's not a slacker. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. If he said it, he'll do it. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. So they're saying he's just, you know, he's caught up, he's distracted. That's why he's slack, you know. But he's not slack. There's a purpose. And that purpose is his long suffering, so that anyone that can be saved will be. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is his will. That is his desire. All will not come to repentance, but he will give them every opportunity. There will not be one that is told to go to hell that will be able to look him in the eye and say, you didn't give me a chance. Peter tells them, basically he's saying, God's not lukewarm concerning his promises, but he's diligent. He's faithful. Peter is saying, you have no idea what God is doing, and you have no idea why he's doing it the way that he chose to do it. Amen. You are clueless to the fact that there are many, many more sons that he's waiting on to come forth first before he comes. Amen. And you don't know that. You think he's coming in your day. But he never said exactly when he would come, but just that he would come. You don't know the hour of his coming. And if you did, you would only get serious based on knowing exactly when he would come. It reminds me when I was growing up, you know, with my siblings. Mom and Dad, they would leave us with a babysitter occasionally. They didn't go out on dates very often, but they did occasionally. And we made the best of it. We would work over that babysitter and just run that babysitter ragged. And then we knew that mom and dad were going to be home at, let's say, 10 o'clock. So by 9:30, all of a sudden, we're sweet and nice and kind of kissing up to the babysitter and, you know, kind of trying to make up for all that we'd done for the last few hours, you know. But that's because we knew that the time was coming, right? Now, what if we didn't know when mom and dad were coming home? Well, we probably would have treated the babysitter properly. Because if mom and dad could come home at any moment, there's no time to make up. We don't know the hour of his coming. But friends, since he hasn't come, according to the millions probably by now of date setters that invariably set dates that come and go, they're wrongly assuming he's not coming at all. Because they've been listening to these date setters. Listen, it's the date setters that are liars, not God. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Friends, that's why we don't want to put words in God's mouth. That's a very dangerous thing. Peter says, but I tell you, he is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. And he will make sure that none of his perish. He won't lose a single one. I'm so glad that God didn't call an end to it in Peter's day, aren't you? Because if he did, I wouldn't be here. I never would have come to the earth even. God knew what conditions would be present in our day and in every other day, of course. He knew what we would face here in the end time. He knew what would take place throughout seven ages of the church. Some of us that, not me, but some of us that have been following this message most of our lives need to realize that we might be taking some things for granted. Some of us who were not raised in the truth didn't know about the church ages. Didn't know that history matches perfectly what the Bible said would take place throughout history over seven ages before the Lord's second coming. I didn't know that. We had no clue what the church ages, what the seven churches of Asia represented in the book of Revelation. In fact, we had no clue what any of the book of Revelation meant, let alone Genesis. Adam and Eve ate an apple. Next thing you know, they're naked, or they realize they're naked, and they lose their life over it. It gives us confidence to know these things. God told us 2,000 years ago what would take place over the last 2,000 years. And history perfectly matches the prophecy. So, friends, if all of that prophecy has been fulfilled, why would we think for a moment that he would be slack concerning his promise for our day? God not only knew the scoffing and the obstacles that the church would face here in the end time, but God also remembered his promise. Aren't you glad? In spite of what took place over the church ages, the falling away and the straying from the truth and even the desertion of the truth, the Lord says, in spite of all of that, I'm coming for someone someday. And I will also take all who slept along the way with me at the time of my coming. And I promise you, I will send Elijah, the prophet, and he will turn your heart before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the tribulation period. That means there has to be hearts that are turned, that aren't turning back. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall burn with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day of the Lord it's that day that comes when mercy is over, and the last seed is brought in from the Gentile age, and that day will come, and the day of man will be over. Verse 11. Seeing then that we have all these things, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since all these things are thus in the process, so this is the amplified version of the very same scripture. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile, in consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities? In other words, the Lord has been in the process of coming all along. The coming of the Lord began when the first sons to enter the kingdom came to maturity. He started to come. And the kingdom of Satan has been in the process of being dissolved ever since Calvary. And we need to fully recognize, friends, that the coming of the Lord, as we went into, and we just want to go into it a little deeper here tonight, the coming of the Lord is not a singular event. It's not a dot. It's not a period. It's not a date. It's not an event. But it's a process. And this process takes a dispensation to complete from start to finish. Now, we probably think that we know what a dispensation means. But just in case we don't, it means the act of giving or portioning something out. That's a dispensation. Something is being given out. So we've had seven church ages where something has been given out, has been dispensed over seven ages. It's not a singular event. Meaning all of these things are necessary. And all of these things are part of the coming of the Lord. We talk about having a birthday party for somebody. Is that? And we call it an event. So, are the balloons the event? Is the baking of the cake, is that an event? Those are all things that are part of the process. In order to have that birthday party, all of these other things are going to take place. They're all part of the birthday party. They're just not maybe the crescendo. But take any one of those parts out and you won't have a crescendo. It's a process. So that's why it's so important for each age to live out their message to the fullness, no matter what age that we are living in, because every part of it is part of the plan of God and it's part of the coming of the Lord. You see, if in any age we're not living as if the last one was to come in at any moment, well, then they were not living the word for their day. So we've got to get out of our minds that, listen closely now. I hope I have your attention. And you on the camera. Put that popcorn down. We have to get out of our minds that some specific world event has to take place before the coming of the Lord. Amen. Oh, when I see that particular event, make sure we're ready. There you go. If that were the case, then why wasn't that necessary for the 90%+ of the church that went the way of the grave? They had to be ready the whole time.
Amen.
Friends, we can certainly look at our day and know for a certainty that we are closer to his coming than in any other age before us. But what we are looking for, this is the key. Listen close. What we are looking for in particular is for the last one to come in.
Amen.
It's not for a world event. It's for redemption to be complete.
Amen.
So if you realize that's what we're looking for, then wouldn't that be what you'd want to focus on? Or do you want to kind of accelerate the earthquake in California by setting off a suitcase bomb, nuclear bomb under the sandbar? Of course not. Along those same lines, it's not a woman president that needs to be elected so that we can go home. That event being fulfilled is not what the rapture is waiting on. California going to the bottom of the sea, that's not what we're waiting on. In fact, I'm pretty certain that if you're here when California goes under the sea, you missed it. It's not even necessary for a squeeze that we are watching for and waiting for. That's not what God's waiting for. He's waiting for the last one to come in. That would be like us having this birthday party. This is just coming fresh. I'd never even thought about the birthday party to begin with, but we're waiting for the birthday boy to show up or birthday girl, right? And they're not there, right? So everybody's ready to blow the whistles and the horns and light the candles. So what are you going to look for? You're going to look for them to show up. You're not going to look for sparklers. You're not going to be, well, as soon as I see the cake lit up, then I'll know. No. If the person isn't there, that's what you're waiting for. What we are waiting for, friends, is for the last elect seed to come in and come to maturity. Because there won't be any immature ones in the rapture. What we are watching is our lives. To see that our lives match the reflection of the message of our day. And this vision cannot be fulfilled until the last one comes in and a body comes into the full manifestation of the message of the hour. We are trimming our lamps. We are getting all the oil that we can, all the revelation that we can, and we are looking for his appearing in bride flesh first.
Amen.
We're looking for him to have the preeminence in a body.
Amen.
And when that condition is met, we will then be looking for the dead in Christ to walk among us. And then we will look for a super anointing that will take us off the earth and will make the down payment seem like what it is. Only a down payment. The gift of the Holy Ghost. It's just a deposit. There's something greater coming.
Amen.
But I would submit to you a question tonight, friends. Are we even manifesting the power of the down payment yet? As they did in the early church. What are we doing with what we have?
Right.
We're not looking for a public show. We're not looking for the world to be convinced. We're not looking for a worldwide move. But we are looking for the dynamics to strike the mechanics in such a way that we're walking daily in the supernatural. That supernatural is more natural than natural. That it's more common. We're looking for sons and daughters of God walking on the earth whose lives match the word perfectly, amen, word for word. Listen to this. Questions and answers on the seals. I'm so glad these questions are there. I'm glad that somebody was inspired to ask the question and not be afraid to be called a dummy or whatever. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. Should evangelists continue on the field? The books come open. Okay, now the book's open. Jesus is coming. He's got up from the throne. His intercessory work is about over. Should evangelists continue on the field? Let me think about that. In this hour, of course. What they mean? Certainly. By all means. Don't change a thing. If Jesus is coming in the morning, preach today like it was going to be 10 years from today. But live like it's going to be in this hour. Don't get scrupled up now. That's why I'm trying to warn you about. That's what I'm warning you about tonight. Because he warned us. Don't make yourself odd. Oh, wait a minute. He says, just don't be odd, peculiar. Don't change nothing. But if you're doing something wrong or doing evil, repent. Sure. See? Come back to God. Continue on your evangelistic service just as you always did. Oh, no, we replaced that with a tape. Well, you just did what he told you not to do. If you're building a house, put it on up. Well, the Lord's coming. I can't be doing that. He said, do it. If Jesus comes tomorrow, you'd be found faithful at the duty. If you're building your church, go on. Put it up. I'd rather be putting my money in something like that than have it found with it in my pocket. See? So just keep on. Continue as you are. Everybody understand now? No. Continue right on. Just go right on as you are. Just don't stop. Don't do nothing. Just go right on just as you are. Keep on serving the Lord. Amen. Friends, you have no idea how many ministers have showed up from other churches. And they've sat in the parking lot crying because they've come and visited and they've come in contact with reality and where they were coming from some dead church. No, I don't apologize for saying that. A dead church is a dead church. You wouldn't leave if it was alive. Next thing I know, they tell me, I want to make your church my church home. You're welcome. Wonderful. There's just one small problem. Well, what would that be? I don't have a retirement. I don't have Social Security. I don't have any money to support me. So you're going to have to... You can't make this stuff up. You need to support me. Well, what are you going to do for the church? What if you aren't part of the ministry? The Lord hasn't told me that you are. But I'm supposed to support you. Well, guess what? I didn't. And guess where they went? Back to like a dog to its vomit. And the stories that I've heard. I mean, we've got people 70 years old that are still breaking their backs. And you know why? Because the Lord was coming. So they didn't go to school. Listen closely. They never saved for retirement because you're not going to need that. Because the Lord's coming. And so now they're 70 years old doing physical labor. And I'm supposed to feel sorry for them. When they heard this practically before I was born. And they did exactly what they weren't supposed to do. They quit doing what they were supposed to do. Put life on hold because the Lord's coming. They told their kids, education is of the devil. The prophet never said that. He's talking about education, religious education. He said, I'm not against education to train you for a job. You got to make a living. He certainly isn't against you building a house either. You got to live somewhere. Oh, the Lord's coming. What a waste that would be. Let's just rent. Okay. 60 years later, you're still renting. How's that working out? Nothing wrong with renting, friends. But what we're saying is if you had the opportunity to own something and you chose not to do that because you're so spiritual, the Lord's coming. And I hope you're listening tonight. Everybody understand now? Continue right on. Just go right on as you are. Just don't stop and don't do nothing. Just go right on just as you are. Keep on serving the Lord. Now, for instance, if you was working for a man and you knowed it was 15 minutes before quitting time, well, you'd say, well, it's just 15 minutes more, so I might as well just go over and sit down. You get docked for that 15 minutes. What about 15 years? If you're planting wheat, plant your wheat. If you're digging potatoes, go on and dig them out. Say, well, nobody will eat them. Well, that don't make any difference. Dig them out anyhow. Just continue on as you are. I got a letter from somebody the other day. Somebody told them, said, well, the time's at hand. Sell the farm. Now, you won't need the food that you live off of on the farm, said, because just the millennium's going to start. And you won't need it. So just go on ahead. And while the tribulation is going on, your children's not saved. So just, you know, let the children have the farm where they can eat off of it. I'm sick of this. When I first came in, I listened to these super spiritual people say that their kids were serpent seed because they left their pet doctrine. No, they left your wacko whackamania. And you're going to give an answer for it. Let the children have the farm where they can eat off of it. But you all sell your farm and or something like that. Or, oh, they had, I said, oh my. If I'd have known he's coming tomorrow and I was a farmer, I'd put my crop in today. Sure. If he made me a farmer, I'm going to stay right at my duty. See? That's right. If he made me a mechanic, said who? Somebody said the other day, a fellow come in. We read this a week ago with in a different direction. A fellow come in and said, say, brother, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you the second set of keys. I bought a new car, he said, and I'm going to give you the second set of keys, he told his pastor. I'm going to give you the second set of keys because the rapture might come. And, you know, and said, I won't be needing it anymore. Pastor was going to miss it, see? So that's making ready, isn't it? All right, but that's the way it is, he says. See, we mustn't be that way. We must be sane. We must be a sane, solid Christian. That I'm put here to work right up to the last minute. We just happen to be living in the end time, and we know that we're closer to his coming than anybody else. But they lived out everything they were supposed to live out. We need to live out everything we're supposed to live out. I've got a job to do, and I want to be right found faithful at the post of duty. If he comes this morning, I want to stand right here in the pulpit. You say, Brother Branham, if he was to come this morning, shouldn't you be out there? No, sir. This is my post of duty. So there goes your Smithsonian. I'll be standing right here preaching when he comes, saying the same things I am. Then when he comes, I'll just move right on out with him. If I'm hoeing potatoes, I'll just be hoeing away just as hard as I can. And when he comes, I'll just drop the hoe and take off. You remember in the Jubilee year, if they were hoeing with the hoe, Remember when the Jubilee trumpet would sound if you were a slave, if you became a slave because you were in debt and you lost your land, what have you? When the Jubilee trumpet sounded, the moment it sounded, you were free. It didn't matter. You didn't have to finish the job. But you couldn't throw down, if you were hoeing, if you were working out in the field with a hoe, you couldn't throw it down before the trumpet went off. They know the Jubilee year was maybe 10 minutes more, and the trumpet would sound of the Jubilee year. They just kept on pitching hay or whatever they was doing. But when the trumpet sounded, then they dropped their pitchfork and gone. That's it. Just keep on pitching hay until the trumpet sounds. That's pretty sane, pretty solid. Don't make yourself a weirdo. You will be odd, but not because you're making yourself odd. Jesus didn't make himself an oddball. He didn't go to the Smithsonian before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to go on vacation first. I'm going to go to Disneyland. Nothing wrong with going to Disneyland, but if you're going to Disneyland because you know tomorrow the Lord's coming, how carnal. It's amazing how people mix spiritual and carnal. They're so spiritual. The Lord's coming and I've risen above you, Pastor. The Lord's coming and so we got to be prepared for it. Oh, by the way, I'm going to the Smithsonian. How's that going to get you ready? Well, I don't need to get ready then because he's not coming until October. Boy, are you spiritual. Maybe you should be my pastor. My answer to that was, well, whether I don't remember whether it was October 11th. Let's just choose that as a date. I don't remember what the date was. I just know it was in October. I said, well, when October 12th comes, you can come back. We'll still be here. Listen to this. And the 10 virgins and the 144,000. This was preached right after Laodicean church age. Brother Bram said it'll be a secret coming. No one will know when it's going to happen. Except you, apparently. See why looking for something else is stupid? We're commanded to be ready and watching. Watching for what? Not watching for blood moons. We don't know what hour. But whatever it is, we will not prevent any of these back here. For just as soon as Jesus appears, the whole watch rises. Dead or alive, doesn't matter. We don't meet him first, we meet one another first. You should be looking for that meeting. The Bible said, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it said, for we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord down here shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. Them precious ones that sealed their blood, sealed their testimony with their blood, not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. For the trumpet will sound, something will take place. The gospel, something will sound. The announcing of his coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Standing and feel a change come on. The gray hair go out. The wrinkles fall away. Be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. And we shall meet our loved ones first. There's mama. Papa. There's my buddy. Oh, hallelujah. We're ready. And then together with them that were dead, says the scripture, we will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, the order of the coming. Oh, to see that old daddy of mine. Oh, my. See them old loved ones that went down in the faith yonder to meet them. See the sweetness of God, knowing if we met him first, we'd wonder, was mama in it? Did mama finally make it? We preached so hard. We tried. Was she here? Is Uncle Joe here? Is brother here? Is so-and-so? Lord, we love you. We love you. But first, we're going to meet one another. Amen. You'll know who made it. Amen. No wondering about it. We're all there. No wonder they stood and said, amen, and glory, and wisdom, and honor, and power, and might. The 20 and 4 elders, took off their crowns and fell on the ground like that. All of them laid down on the ground and worshiped him. One of these days, we'll stand out beyond the earth. Yonder, the ring of the earth. Out yonder somewhere in space. And we won't be in heaven yet. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air. When Rebecca decided, deciding that she would go with Eliezer upon the camel to meet Jacob or meet Isaac, which was to be her husband, she'd never seen him. Know that God was leading her, Jacob's son, or Isaac was on his way out into the field at the cool of the evening. Remember, it was in the evening time, and Rebecca riding on a camel. Eliezer said, "There he comes now." And Rebecca jumped off the camel, pulled the veil from her face. She'd never seen him. Didn't know. That was her husband. But she'd never seen him. She was going to meet him by faith. I don't know what he looks like, but oh, when I see him out there, when she's seen him, it was love at first sight. And he'd never seen her, so he'd seen her, love at first sight. And here they come to meet one another in the field. It's not where she lives, it's not where he lives. It's somewhere in between. And he took her into his father's kingdom over here and married her. That's the way the church will be caught up in the air, in the middle of the air. Excuse me. And meet the Lord on his road down. Oh, what an affair it'll be. Love at first sight. And when we stand there upon the rings of the earth and sing them songs of redemption, oh my, how we'll sing and praise him for the redeeming grace that he's given us. When angels will cover the sides, the circle of the earth with bowed heads, not knowing what we're talking about. Them angels wasn't lost. They won't know what it means to be saved. We was the one who was lost. We were the one. We'll understand then what a horrible thing laid ahead of us, and he redeemed us by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Hallelujah. Events made clear by prophecy. This is August of 1965. I'm now ready to pray for the sick. But it's a strange thing how that when we stand here, I stand here now making a challenge to the public and hooked up across the nation. And God still is God. He cannot fail. And what he promises, that he will do. He'll never fail to do it, for he promised to do it. Therefore, I can place solemn confidence in what he said. Therefore, I look for his coming. I look for him to appear at any time, because he said, in an hour that you think not, the world thinks not, then he'll appear. Listen, he didn't know when the Lord was coming. If he did, he wouldn't have been looking for his coming. But he looked, and then he went to sleep. Questions and answers. Again, he says, "Lord, today as your servants, we look forward and we see your coming. So it doesn't matter to us, Lord, when, how, where. We only want to please you. We're in your hands. Keep us, Lord, until the sun's up. Grant it. And then we'll all march up to Zion, where the city where the Lamb is the light." My dear little children here, Lord, that I have begotten to you through the bonds of the Bible, they are the fruit of this word. They love me, and I love them, and I know that you love all of us. We pray, God, that you'll so impregnate us with the word that we can see only him. Listen, friends, if you see him, you're so impregnated with the word that you see him, are you going to be looking for other signs? No. You're not going to take your eyes off of him. Amen. Grant it, Lord. May we be so full of his word that the Spirit can use us anywhere, at any place, to manifest any word that he has promised. Grant that to all of us here upon this audience here. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with the fervent heat. While you, again from the Amplified, while you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved, and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. You ought to look for the fulfillment of the message in your life.
Yes.
Whether you live to see his coming or go the way of the grave first. Either way, you'll live to see his coming. But
amen.
I want to finish with this thought here this evening. Each one of us needs to do our part to make the coming of the Lord come soon. We need to be prepared. We need to be rapture ready. We need to be sealed. We need to have the token on display. And we need to be waiting for that moment. And we've already seen the flashing red lights of the signs of his coming. We don't have to wait for the train to come into the station to get ready. It's up to us tonight, friends, and I hope I can convince you of this. It's up to us to hasten his coming and to remove all hindrances to his coming. And we're just going to touch on that here for a few minutes. I've had some short connections at airports when I'm doing due to travel delays and so forth, and it's caused me to have to run from one gate to another. And at those times, all you can think about is making it in that door before the door shuts. Now, they lie about that, but for most of us, once that door shuts, they won't open it. But if they've got a high-paying flight that they delayed and there's 50 passengers on it coming over, they will open it. And then when you bring that up, well, why'd you let them on but you won't let me? Oh, we never do that. So that's the only thing that matters. If I get there, the door's closed, they won't open it. So at those times, all you can think about is making it to the door before the door closes.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You forget about how you look. You probably don't look too good. You know, maybe you were laying with your head in the seat and you got a crease mark on your face and your hair's all plastered over. And you don't care. You want to get there before the door closes. You forget about how you look as you run through the airport. And you look stupid running through the airport. You don't stop at the chocolate shop. You don't stop at Starbucks, Cinnabons. I don't care how good it smells. You keep going. Listen, Sister Baker, you don't even stop to go to the bathroom. And you really got to go. Maybe you got a meeting scheduled and you don't want to miss it. Or there's a wedding or some important event and so missing it is not an option. But if you miss that flight, eventually you'll catch another one. You may miss an event, but you'll catch another flight. But this flight, friends, that we're waiting for will only come once. And you must already be ready. You must have the token. It must be on display. We're not waiting to hear shrieks from Goshen. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, that's something you have to pay attention to. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with, they rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Friends, we already know people that were steadfast, that you even thought were more steadfast than you were. They were the foremost promoters of things that have fallen from their steadfastness. So it's not a question of whether this can happen. It is happening. He says, but don't do that. Instead, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get to know Him as best as you can and grow in grace. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So Jesus gave us a commission, friends, which couldn't be fulfilled until this last age, to take this very same gospel around the world, and then shall the end come. A reformer's gospel will not work in our day, and it will not produce a rapture. We've got to do our very best to do our part to make it come soon. He's literally waiting on us. God was waiting on Moses to get ready before Moses could be the deliverer. And then God waited on the people to get ready to receive Moses. And then they left. He said, after sojourning for 400 years, I'll raise up a prophet. Well, he did. 40 years go by. They're still there. 80 years. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for everything to be in its place. Amen. The guy in the brown coat had to be over here, and the lady with the red dress had to be here, and he had to take his hat off. The process had to be fulfilled. Amen. He's literally waiting on us. Amen. We are seeing the cup of iniquity of the Amorites overflowing. Yes. And if we're not careful tonight, friends, we're waiting on Him. I wonder how that would work. I'm supposed to pick up my wife, but I'm waiting for her to call. But she doesn't call because she's waiting for me to come. So we're both waiting on one another. So I never pick her up and she never calls. How's that work? Somebody has to do their part. God will fulfill His word, and He will catch away a bride. And He will wipe out this world, this worldly system, before bringing her back with Him. But she has to be ready. And He's not going to make her get ready. She has to willfully get ready. She has to make herself ready. We have so many positive prophecies, friends, that are happening in this hour. I'm going to pull over here in just a minute. We're living in one of the greatest times of fulfillment of Scripture that there ever has been. And whatever remains could be fulfilled in no time flat. Just as with Jesus, in the last 72 hours of His earthly walk, there were more prophecies fulfilled in the last 72 hours than in His whole ministry. We can say over and over and over and over, and we are, this day this Scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. The shadows are meeting the fulfillment. There was a delay of 500 years from Malachi to Jesus. God was mostly silent for 500 years. But then over a period of time of about 33 years, look at all that happened. There was a great preparation that was taking place for hundreds of years in order for His first coming to take place. And yet look at how the religious leaders and the sects, they were carrying on at the time of His coming, oblivious to His coming. How many recognized His first coming? How many were looking for His coming? It was prophesied that He was going to come. How many were prepared by the ministry of John? As was prophesied. How many were doing their part to hasten His coming? So what I want us to see here tonight, friends, is how quickly things can change. And if you're not in, if you're not engaged, you'll miss it. I'm not trying to scare anybody, just shake you if I have to, myself included. So the day before Jesus came on the earth, all things continued as they had for 500 years. And then the day came when an angel appeared to Zechariah, and Zechariah was doubtful, and the word was being fulfilled. And Zechariah said, "How can this be?" And he was struck dumb so that his unbelief would not hinder the coming of the promise. And then when the promise was fulfilled, then his speech returned. Zechariah had plenty of shadows to draw on. He had Sarah and Hannah and so on and so forth. Mary had a visitation. She was meditating on these things. Joseph was meditating. Joseph had a visitation. Prophecy just started being fulfilled, and then it rapidly was fulfilled. God was not slack concerning his promise. The Lord made an entire family a promise. "I've gone away to prepare a place for you, but when I come, I will come back for you, so that where I am, you will be also." Is that a promise? Friends, what could be more important to you tonight than walking in the prophecy for your day? Now, we have to be convinced first. And at the same time, we don't want to throw down our hoe before quitting time. So it's a delicate balance. Go to work. If you're going to school, do your best. Train. If you're a farmer and you got to plant seed, plant the seed. Whatever it is, be very sane about things. Contribute to a retirement account. "Oh, but I don't think we'll be here." You don't know. "I didn't think we'd be here this long." Here we are. We want to be found at our post of duty when he comes. Questions and answers, one more time. He says, here's a question. "Is it too late for jail services and such work for a testimony to try to save souls?" Do you realize when we started the little work on Broadway down in the downtown area, I talked to the pastor, told him what was on my heart. Pastor said, "Go do it. I support you 100% until I get up in the pulpit the next week and say something different." I don't have to answer for that. Don't get mad at me. It happened. I'm the victim here. Why are you getting mad? I love that. "Oh, you shouldn't say something like that. It happened to me, okay? And I'm not bitter. It was the tender hand of Jehovah. There was a purpose. God had to make the nest sticky so I'd find out, so I'd grow and become what God called me to be." But when we started that little mission down on Broadway, they were saying at the other churches here, "Well, that doesn't work anymore. Those days are over." Yeah, that's what they were saying. And some were saying Jesus wouldn't be down there amongst that trash. Well, sorry that you don't know that Jesus is here. And that's where he made his reputation. Once again, go ahead and get mad at me. I'm the victim. And I did what you didn't do. So if you want to get mad at me, I did what the Lord told me to do. Have you? I'm dealing with spirits. Some of the biggest critics don't do a thing. How many of you went to the Lord? Is it too late for jail services and such work for a testimony to try to save souls? Yeah, it's too late. I'm only called to preach to the bride. Some of my best minister friends, that's come right out of their mouth. I'm like, "Oh, and you know who they are?" I don't. So I'm going to preach to anybody. Whosoever will. The Spirit and the bride say, all that are thirsty. There's three kinds of believers. Let them come as far as they can come. I don't know who is and who isn't. Also, should one sell all they have now? The Lord's coming soon. Well, I hope I haven't said anything that would cause you to believe such as that. Have I? If I have, forgive me. I don't mean... See, don't just presume those things. Keep right on going, preaching, having jail service, getting everybody. Looky here. The Seventh-day Adventists here, not long ago, about 50, 60 years ago, I think it was around 1920, somewhere around there, I seen it in the Courier Journal paper. I got it somewhere in the trunk. A great big piece of the Courier Journal paper where they throwed the old wings out, where when they were called Millerites before they become Seventh-day Adventists. And they had a whole big sheet in the Courier paper up here at Franklin, Kentucky, when they all sold their property and they set a certain date and they proved it by the scripture. Jesus was coming on that date. And went up there and got their harps and things. How carnal. And sat upon the top of the hill. I don't know how to play a harp. The next morning come down. The dew had took all the feathers down. And they come down deflated. See, it's cults and things. You make yourself a cult when you do these things. Don't you believe that? Jesus might not come for 100 years yet. I don't know when he's coming. Oh, the prophet didn't know, but you do? I don't know who this is for, friends. I'm just preaching, okay? Somebody listening in, it might be, who knows? No man knows when he's coming, but I'm going to try to keep on preaching and doing everything I can till he does come. If he isn't here today, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. If he isn't here this week, I'll be looking for him next week. If he isn't here in the next 10 years and I live, I'll be looking for him the next 30 years. See, I'll still be looking. I don't know when he's coming, but I want to live true to his word and true to his people and live like a Christian and wait for his coming. See, keep on preaching jail services, getting everybody saved that you can. I don't know when he's coming. Nobody does. But I'll say this one thing. This is why I'm trying to tell you. And I hope you don't try to put your own interpretation. Not bawling this person out. God bless you, brother, sister, whoever you are. It looked like it was somebody from out of town because it was on a postcard. I think from Denver, Colorado. Yeah, Pikes Peak, Colorado. So it might have been somebody sent it in by mail. That's perfectly all right. They might get the tape. But let's remember, don't you change anything. Only your ways from sin to righteousness. Just keep right on at your job, going right on just the same. All that understand clearly say amen. Amen. Congregation lied and said amen. Is it clear tonight, friends?
Yes.
We don't get a reprieve. We got to live out just as they've lived out in every age. And until we live out what we're supposed to live out, the Lord's not coming. Well, he'll just make you. No. You've got a will. Now, if you're his, you're going to end up doing it. Circumstances are going to line up to where you will do it. One way or another. But you have to be the one to surrender. Say, Lord, let thy will be done. We have to see the fulfillment of she has his word and knows what he wants done with it. She has thus saith the Lord, or she keeps her mouth shut. She can discern the two spirits within the church and withstand the Antichrist spirit. And when she does, Satan is absolutely thwarted. So if you want to hear preaching where we're not withstanding the Antichrist spirit, we won't be fulfilling what we're supposed to fulfill. That spirit has to be called out. We're not calling out people. You're the one that wants to put a face to it. It's a spirit. Now, spirits work through people. Well, you're talking about so-and-so because so-and-so did such and such. I don't care who it is. A spirit is a spirit. Right? Somebody's going to fulfill it. But somebody's going to fulfill surrendering to the Holy Spirit, too. I've gotten a lot of feedback from different ones. Said this series has been encouraging. It's settling. It should be. That's the whole point. That's what Peter was trying to do as he's moving off the scene. We're trying to bring Peter's message here tonight. He's telling you there's wacko here, wacko there. They don't believe this anymore. The Lord delays his coming. They're denying the facts. There's some that are no longer steadfast, but you need to press on in righteousness, sincerity, focus. You need to fulfill your part. And I trust that you will. Let's stand. The Lord's promise. He's not slack concerning his promise. He'll do everything that he said he's going to do. And he'll do it exactly the way he said he would in his time. But we need to realize here tonight, friends, that part of this depends on us. The prophecy is there, but we have to fulfill our portion of the prophecy. Right? We have to be in the room when the this or that part of the vision is being fulfilled. Right? We have to be about our Father's business. And if we're walking with Him or being led of the Spirit, we will fulfill our part. So it means being sober-minded. It means keeping your focus. It means being stable. Don't look off. Don't chase after this and chase after that. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on what's been promised. Keep your eye on what's been said would be fulfilled in our day. And you'll be there. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, it's one of the most profound things that was said before. It was in this series. It was God in Simplicity, and it was before the Word came open. One of the most profound things that was said was just watch the little things, and God will make sure you catch the big things. Don't try to be odd. Don't try to be different. Don't try to make yourself odd. You'll just get further away. Don't try to interpret the Word. Don't try to, if you don't have an understanding of a certain scripture, just put it in the hands of the Lord, because you can't reveal it to yourself anyway. But the Lord will reveal it in due season, in due time. He's the one that's brought you this far. He'll take you the rest of the way. It's His work. But we need to be doing our part. We need to be faithful. We need to be focused, steadfast. Keep our eyes on the prophecy. Looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. Now, if we are told to do that, then there must be a way to do it. There had to be a people in the land of Goshen that were sick and tired of being sick and tired. There had to be a people that realized, you know what? It's time for this prophecy to be fulfilled. I don't want to stay here any longer. I want to go on into the promise. I don't think we need to stick around. And they got to calling on the Lord. And then we begin to see the prophecy being fulfilled. We see a prophet coming to the earth. And we see all the different things falling into place, but there had to be a people crying out. It is true that the Lord said after 400 years this would take place. But how much of that was dependent upon the people? How much of the 400 years? Was it that the Lord decided that it would be 400 years and that was it? Or was it that the Lord saw that the people would be calling upon Him in 400 years? And then it would begin to take place. We know that we're partners in this with You, Lord. We know that You share Your plan with us. You show us what it is that You're going to do. But we know that we have to make choices, decisions along the way. We want to make the right choice. And we know that the right choices are the harder choices. But a great portion of heaven awaits those that make these right promises, right choices. And of course, when You wrote this plan, You saw the choices that we would make. You worked it all in according to work out Your perfect will. You didn't deviate from Your plan, but You made all things work together for the good. But Lord, we're not robots here tonight. We have a will. We have choices. And I choose You tonight, Lord. My desire is to see Your will completely fulfilled in my day on earth as it is in heaven. Every prophecy to be fulfilled. I don't want to be the cause of a delay, Lord. I don't want to hinder someone else. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be focused. But at the same time, I want to be stable and balanced, recognizing that we're here and that we will occupy until You come. That there are things that must be fulfilled, lived out. We want to be faithful doing what You're leading us to do each and every day. And then when You come, we want to be ready. I pray, Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding would pass through this building, Lord. And those that are listening in, I pray that, Lord, that we not be tossed and turned and blown about by every wind of doctrine, that we not be in a state of fear or a state of doubt or worry or anxiety. But Lord, that we would be resting in Your promises. But then, Lord, that we would also be walking so close to You that we would, each and every one of us would know that there's no possible way that You would take Your Spirit from the earth without us knowing, because we're walking with You. When You go, we're going. We're waiting for Your coming, but Your coming is Your going. We're going to meet You in the air. That's what we're waiting for, but You're here with us now. We want to just walk so close to You, Lord, that one day You just say, why don't You just take that next step? I don't see a reason for You to go back home. I don't see a reason for You to do this or that. Why don't You just come on home?
Amen.
Father, what sweet words. What a sweet promise. We've got prophecy. We've got shadows that show us that these things shall be. We want to be focused, Lord. Why, of all the people that have ever lived on the face of the earth, why would we be privy to all these shadows if it wasn't for the purpose of us knowing what to look for, what Your word is, and what You want done with it? May it be so, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Bless each and every one, Lord. May each one be encouraged. May each one be strengthened. We give You all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as the deep cries out.